I've come to understand that there's less than 250 full-time independent Baptist evangelists. That's astounding, because the need has never been greater. I believe God's calling some men to do it. It's just some are not answering. I'm thankful you answered the call, preacher. And it's got its, I understand this, it's tough, and especially when you're trying to get started. And so I'm going to put him on my prayer list. And we're going to invite him to some meetings and get him to meet some preachers. And I can tell by talking to him, he can preach. I can tell it, brother buddy. Be around him 5 minutes, I can tell that boy can preach. And so I love you, brother Randall. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark chapter number 2. Thankful for my dear friends, the Rochesters. Weren't they a blessing tonight?
Amen.
Oh, my. Let's let them know how much we love them again tonight. The Rochesters are up for at least 5 different awards on Thursday out here at the convention. And one of those nominations they're up for is Group of the Year. I say they're already won it as far as I'm concerned, amen. Of course, I'm partial. I love this family. Female vocalist, Becky, nominated female vocalist. Benjamin, male vocalist. Benjamin, musician. Benjamin, I heard our sweet lady behind me here say, when he kept playing all those different instruments, she said, that guy's multi-talented. I couldn't help but hear you say that. He already won in previous years the Musician of the Year. Les Butler, who has a radio show across America, in his Singing News article, he writes an article in the printed voice of gospel music every month. Les Butler said that Benjamin Rochester is the best traveling musician in all of gospel music. And I say amen to that. And we're glad that Benjamin stayed faithful to God. And what an honor to serve with the Rochester family. Amen. Mark chapter 2 tonight is our text, verse 1. If you have your Bible, let's stand together in the honor of the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 2, can you hear me okay? I've just got one ear anymore. I could hear okay out of this one, but I wanted to be sure they could hear, brother. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto Jesus for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. That's our God tonight, amen? He's a never seen it on this fashion kind of God, amen. May we pray. Our Father, tonight we do want to echo what our Pastor Gillespie prayed a while ago, that Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you might pour out your presence, your divine help, Lord, from heaven. And Lord, enable us tonight to do what no man can do without God, and that's proclaim the word of God. Father, we can preach truth, but only you can impart truth. I pray tonight for your help. Lord, help me overcome these physical maladies and these hindrances. But God, I know the word of God is not hindered tonight. I pray that you'll bless the preaching as you have the singing. I pray you'll save lost souls in this building. May some dead, lost, hell-bound sinner realize Jesus is their only hope. May they come. May your Holy Spirit open their heart as you did there in Acts 16 when Lydia was saved. God, open some sinner's heart tonight and pour in your divine grace. I pray that you'll not only save lost souls, but you'll stir the heart of every Christian here. Thank you for our guests. Thank you for other churches, fellowship with other churches tonight. Bless each one, Father. Speak to us now through the preaching as you did the singing. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for your glory we pray it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There are two or three words in verse number 5 that gave me the idea for this message. You know the story. You know the story. There's the Lord Jesus in chapter 1 has already performed many miracles. His testimony, his miracles have been noised abroad. In the first chapter, demons were cast out. The blind were given their sight. Sick were healed. The leper was cleansed. Miracle after miracle in chapter 1. Well, word about that got out. And so chapter 2, we come to the introduction of this chapter where the Lord Jesus is found at Peter's house. Most commentators believe that this house that's referred to was the Apostle Peter's house there at Capernaum. And he was there after some days, it was noised. Verse 1 says, it was noised that Jesus was in the house. You know the best thing that can be said about Victory Baptist Church? Jesus is in the house. Amen. We hear that phrase a lot about so-and-so in the house. I'm just glad that we can say Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'm in the house. Amen. Well, he was there. And when it got out that he was there, it says straightway many were gathered. Insomuch, it says, that there was no room, not any room at all in that house. And it says not even so much as about the door. And then it says that there were four men in verse 3. There were four men that had a friend that was sick of the palsy. His muscles were depleted. His strength was gone. This man sick of the palsy, this crippling, defeating, debilitating disease. He couldn't walk. He couldn't crawl. He couldn't move. But he had four friends that picked him up, Brother Bill, put him on a blanket, carried him to Peter's house. And it says when they saw the crowd, they couldn't get him in the door because of all the people. So they went up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof, let him down on the roof. And here's my message. It says when Jesus, verse 5, look at it. When Jesus saw their faith. Amen. When Jesus saw the faith of those four men, it says he healed and moved and changed this man's life. My question for you tonight is, can people see your faith as you live the Christian life? Are you living in a way? Are you working for Christ in a way? Are you living for Jesus in a way where people can see your faith? You know, the Bible says we're justified by faith in Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Salvation is a gift. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by our righteousness, as Benjamin sang a while ago. We're made clean through the righteousness of Jesus that was imputed unto us, that was deposited unto us. The moment a sinner trusts in Jesus, God stamps us justified. Amen? Washed clean through the blood of Jesus. And it's that grace that whereby we're saved. We're saved by grace. It's activated. It happens the moment a sinner puts his faith in Jesus. That's what that word believe in John 3:16 is. That Greek word pistuo. The word believe means to trust and put your faith in Jesus. You'll be saved. So we're saved by faith. That's how we're going to heaven, because we put our faith in Jesus. But now, I want to see, to show you tonight, Christian, that just as we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, after we're saved, we're to live the Christian life by faith. We don't hear much preaching on this anymore. But I'm going to tell you, friend, faith is not just some idea that's set on the shelf. True faith, James the Apostle makes this clear, that faith that is real faith is activated faith. You know, there was no conflict between Paul and James when Paul the Apostle says we're justified by faith in Jesus, we're saved by grace through faith and faith alone. And here comes James talking about his works. James wasn't preaching salvation by works, but James is saying faith that has saved you is going to show up in your life. Amen. If you're saved, it's impossible to not show it sometime in your life. Well, these men, the Bible tells us, had visible faith. Oh, I pray tonight we'll leave here in a few moments with faith that's activated, that our Christian life will be not just something in our head and our hearts, but people in Louisville, Kentucky can also see our faith in Jesus. What kind of faith do we find in this story? First off, the faith that Jesus saw is caring faith. Caring faith. You can't help but see that when these four men went to this man sick of the palsy. They had to show some care for him. Here's a man that could not help himself. Here's a man that was hopeless. Here's a man that had no purpose and no thought of life and no future. His life was relegated to being a cripple, helpless and hopeless. What a picture that is of humanity tonight without Jesus. For I was a hopeless sinner before the Lord passed my way. I want to tell you tonight, I'm thankful though these four men, Jesus saw their faith because their faith was a caring faith. They showed compassion. They had thoughts. They had feelings. They had Christian compassion upon this helpless man. You know what Louisville, Kentucky needs to see tonight? Louisville, Kentucky, I believe, is crying out for some churches that can show the fact that we'll love them enough to tell them about Jesus, that we'll show some caring faith. Amen. Someone said people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And we can be, you know, we can be philanthropic, we can do social work, we can help the community with a clothes closet, and that's all caring. That clothes closet ministry, that's a caring ministry. And the help with the street ministry, that's a caring ministry. And all these tangible, literal acts of kindness, that's what churches like this are doing. But I want to remind you, the greatest act of caring is when you care for the souls of men, amen. And I'm here to show you tonight that these men had caring faith. Oh, that we might have a revival this week of others. They didn't focus on themselves. They thought about this man. One of the great problems, Brother Gillespie, of churches in Texas is our churches are so focused on us. We're so worried about us. We want to know what a church can do for us. We have people that come to churches in Texas to ask the pastor, well, we're thinking about joining your church, but what can your church do for us? What does your church offer my kids? What does your church offer me and my wife? That's a total wrong question. Because when I was growing up, people didn't come to a church seeking what a church could do for them. People used to come to church saying, I'm praying about joining your church. How can I come to your church and go to work for God? Amen. That's a caring Christian. We're thinking about others instead of ourselves. So Jesus saw caring faith. But not only do we find that Jesus saw their faith and that it was caring faith, but number two, Jesus saw their faith that it was carrying faith. Carrying faith. Again, the scripture says that these four men found this man that was sick of the palsy. And I want you to see something very important. They didn't just have feelings of compassion and we're thinking about you, man. We hope things work out for you, man. And there's nothing wrong with kind words and words of encouragement. When people are down, we all need them. Dr. Truett at First Baptist Dallas used to say, be kind to everyone because everyone's got problems. And that's the truth. And it's good to know that people know our caring words. But these men show us something else about their faith. Their faith wasn't just caring faith. But church, secondly, they had carrying faith. They put some feet to their feelings. Amen? They didn't just say, well, we hope things get better for you. They put that man on a blanket. And church, they began to carry him across town. And this was dead weight. This was no easy thing. It took four men to carry one man because he was just a big glob of flesh, really. He couldn't support himself. He couldn't help them in any way. He just laid there. But these four men show us an illustration of carrying faith, that they cared enough to find that man a blanket. They picked him up and they carried him to Jesus. Amen. Oh, how we need to put some feet and some action to our words. Now listen, I know a lot of churches, we talk the talk, but I'm telling you in 2010, it's time to walk the walk with Jesus. Amen. It's time to roll up our sleeves and go to work for God. Amen, brother buddy. It's time to get down to that jailhouse. It's time to get down to that street ministry. It's time to get down to that nursing home. It's time to get down to that city park. It's time to take Jesus out of these four walls and take him to a lost and dying world. Let's reach out and find some people for Jesus. They had carrying faith. They carried this man to Jesus. Number three, their faith was not only carrying faith and carrying faith, but thirdly, I can't help but see their faith was cooperating faith. Cooperating faith. Look what it says in verse number three. And they came to him, they came to Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, born of four. Now there was four corners to that blanket, and so it took four men to get the job done. And now, the thing that's amazing about this, I doubt if these guys were Baptists. Because it's hard to get four Baptist preachers together for anything. Amen. I'm thankful for the pastors that are here tonight and were here last night. A tremendous men. That's such an encouragement. You know what's going to help America if we ever have revival? It's going to be a bunch of preachers, a bunch of Baptists. I'm talking about getting Baptists together. I'm not talking about going with the Baha'i faith and the Unitarians and all that. We can't even get Bible-believing Baptists to work together. And we wonder why we're not having revival. We can't get even the same kind of Baptists. Because we're so afraid. Well, if they visit that church, if my people go to that revival and my people visit that church, they might see something they like better than our church. So I'm not going to even mention that revival. That happens all the time. I don't want them to visit any other church. Well, that's a small-minded, a small vision right there, amen? I mean, if that's all it takes for somebody to leave your church, you didn't have much in the first place. Amen! I've never said that before, but I'm glad I did it. This jealousy, this pettiness, this smallness, this little, this idea, some preachers... I know, Brother Gillespie, Brother Gentry, you've seen this in the years. Some preachers have the idea that we're the only church doing it right. Nobody can do it but us. And man, we just got our own little tunnel vision. And we wouldn't lock hand in hand and arm in arm and Bible to Bible with any other Baptist preacher. Because it's our little kingdom. And we don't want to threaten our little kingdom. How dare, what if somebody lost their allegiance to me? Thank God. Thank God these men didn't have that spirit. They had bigger minds and bigger hearts than that. They worked together. You know what it's going to take to see revival in America? It's going to take some churches, some Bible-believing, like-minded churches, but some churches that are not, you don't have to compromise one thing to find some churches and some people we can work together with to reach Louisville, Kentucky. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They work together. And the basis of their fellowship, and what ought to be the basis of their fellowship, is they all had one thing in common. Jesus Christ had changed their lives. Most believe, Brother Gary, that these four men were some of those guys that were changed in chapter 1. Chapter 1, read it when you get home. I mean, there were some miracles took place in chapter 1. And most believe that all four of these guys were somebody, maybe one of them had been delivered from leprosy. Maybe another one had been healed of a sickness. Maybe another one used to be blind, but he can see now. Maybe another one once was facing a demon possession, but Jesus set him free. I'm here to tell you, friend, you find somebody that's been changed by the grace of God, you can find somebody you can work with. Amen. Thank God that Jesus saw their faith that was caring, that was carrying, that was cooperating faith. And then lastly, I want you to see it was a creative faith. Creative faith. Look at verse 3 and 4. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of the four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. And when they had broken it up, notice that, they broke up the roof. They let down the man, the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And then it says, Jesus saw their faith. The church, get the picture. These four guys have already carried that man across town because they just heard where Jesus was. I'm sure their muscles were cramping. I'm sure in that arduous and tough walk across town, I'm sure it became a labor. I'm sure it was hard carrying that dead weight. But they kept going and kept going. Maybe one of them said, how much further? Come on, God, just keep going. It's not much further. They came around the corner, and there was Peter's house. But when they saw the house, the Bible says, they saw the crowd. Young people, there were so many there that the house was so full that there was a line out the door trying to get in to where Jesus was. They couldn't even get through the crowd to where Jesus was. And yet their whole purpose for coming was to get that man to the master. I'm thankful these four guys didn't quit. Amen. I'm thankful they didn't get tired. I'm thankful they didn't give up. I'm thankful they didn't get weary. I'm thankful they weren't fair weather servants. I'm so leery. I know some of you pastors are tired of Christians that are fair weather servants. We want to serve God when the job's easy. It's easy to come to a church when the numbers are growing and things are on the up and up. But I want to tell you something. I respect a church that while they've been through a lean time, they just kept being faithful to God and didn't give up and didn't throw in the towel and didn't quit. And we just kept on firing away. Just kept on standing on the wall. Just kept on fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. So these guys, they didn't quit. They didn't say, well, that was a great idea. I mean, you've had us carry this guy. Here's the way most Baptists would have said it. You carried this guy across town. Now what are we going to do? We can't even get in the door. Look at all those people. They must be giving out free food or something. Free meatloaf or something, you know. One of them said, well, we might as well give up. Let's just go home. They dropped the guy on the ground. Here's what most Baptists would have done. They dropped the guy on the ground and say, sorry, guy, we can't do it. We're going to have to go to plan B. Plan B is to leave you right there. They didn't do that. Amen? They didn't do that. Brother Randall. Somebody said, hold it, I got an idea. There's some stairs around back. There's a rooftop on top. Yep. Let's go, guys. He said, what are we going to do? Just follow me. I got an idea. Boy, I love people that have ideas for God. Amen. I love people that don't give up on God. I love people that just be here on Sunday and be here on Sunday night and be here on Wednesday and be for visitation and be here for Vacation Bible School, be here for Missions Conference. Just keep on being faithful. They climbed up the roof. They laid him down on the roof. The house is filled below. One guy says, what are we going to do now? This other guy says, I got an idea. I need something to make a little hole. He said, what you going to do? He said, just watch me. I got an idea. Maybe they found an old broomstick or maybe a tool of some type. I don't know how they did it, but the Bible says they began to knock a hole to break up that roof. They made Peter a skylight in that house, didn't they? Did a remodel job. Wouldn't you like to have been in that house? They're standing around talking. I mean, they're shoulder to shoulder. They're eating nachos, having a big party. And they can't even move. It's so crowded. All of a sudden, something hits somebody in the head. He looks up and there's stuff falling from the ceiling. He says, what in the world is that? All of a sudden, a hole appears. They step back and say, wait a minute, what's going on? It gets quiet. Every head's looking there. The hole begins to grow and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And after they step back and make the room for the construction job, all of a sudden, a man begins to be lowered on a blanket. And I bet you could hear a pin drop. I read a commentary by a man of God. The question was asked, what do you think? What do you think our Lord did? What do you think Jesus did when he saw their faith? This man of God said, I believe when Jesus saw that crippled man coming down on that rope, that Jesus smiled. Amen. Jesus smiled. I believe the smile of God was present in that room. Amen. As they saw, our Lord knew what was happening. He knew this man was being lowered to his divine presence because Jesus knew that those four men knew if they could just get him to Christ, it's going to be change. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I remind you that it says Jesus saw their faith and it was creative faith. Oh, that God might help Victory Baptist Church and Campbellsville Baptist Temple and every church represented tonight over there in Houston, brother, that we'll not be satisfied with just the same old thing. I'm not talking about doctrinal weirdness or strangeness, but I tell you something, in 2010, we ought to use every means necessary, every biblical means necessary, every Christian means necessary, using the mind God gave us to reach this generation for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If it's an evangelistic banquet, I heard about a church today had a sports banquet. They had a bunch of outdoorsmen come in there, and they gave out gift certificates to the sporting goods store. And they had wild game. They had deer and they had elk and they had quail and they had fish. And they invited all the sports for the community to come for a sports banquet. And then they had a preacher get up and talk about Jesus. I mean, that's innovation right there. There's a myriad of ways to get the gospel out. And it's time we just go to work for God. Jesus saw their faith. What about you tonight? Is your faith visible? Is your faith activated? Are you really working for Christ? Are you really to the point where you're willing to just give it all, as they were singing about a while ago, to serve the Lord? Dr. Adrian Rogers, I close, tells the story of what he was preaching one Sunday. And as he preached, there was a mother to his left and her son. And the little boy sat by his mother. And in that church in Memphis, there was a big cross on the back wall. A big cross above the baptistry. But the mother who told the pastor this story afterwards said that while Dr. Rogers was preaching, they were seated at just a vantage point, just a line of direction. That Gary, as the little boy sat there, he could no longer see the cross because of where Dr. Rogers was standing. And in a child's thinking, in a child's way of reasoning, the mother said, my little son leaned over to me and said, Mama, who's that man standing there keeping me from seeing the cross? Who's that man in the way? Who's that man in the way that's keeping me from seeing the cross? And Dr. Adrian Rogers said, my friend, I wonder how many of us, like this crowd that was in that house that day, were in the way, keeping people from Jesus. I tell you tonight, I don't want to stand in the way of what God wants to do. Amen? There's too many people standing in the way of the cross. Too many people standing in the way that can't see Jesus because of us. I just want to get out of the way, don't you? And I just want people to see my faith that's alive in the Master, the Lord Jesus. Oh, tonight, if you've never been saved, I point you to Him. Isaiah, the prophet, said, look unto the Lord and live. Tonight, if you've never been saved, by faith, you can trust in the one they were singing about, who died on the cross, paid for your sins and my sins. And by faith in His bloodstained name, you can be saved. Amen. If you want to have that new life, total transformation, come to Jesus, my friend, and you'll be saved. And then if you're a Christian, I invite you to fill this altar in a moment. And let's ask God for revival.